in the store. I said, what do you think I am, man? I said, I work every day. Go get a job. I said, you don't have to sit out here and bum. Get a job and you have money. You don't have to ask nobody for it. I don't give them people money, folks. I do not give them people any money. I ain't giving them any food. You know what this book says? If they won't work, neither should they eat. I ain't giving them, I'm not giving them food nor money. I'm not giving them either nothing. Go get a job. I'm not talking about people that can't work. I'm not talking about people that's awful good. I'm talking about people that can stand out there 6 hours, all kinds of inclement weather. If you can do that, you can work. Yeah. Hello. 2 Corinthians. I hate it Sunday morning in one respect that everybody's, you know, their major objective is to get out. So maybe if you just come to get in. Well, wouldn't that be good if everybody came to get in? I'm going to read you a prayer quote real quick. This is E.M. Bounds. For those of you that pray, I want you to listen to this. E.M. Bounds said, "The men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunity and freshness, in other pursuits than seeking God, will make poor headway seeking Him the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, He will be the last place the remainder of the day." And I have sadly found that so. I have sadly found that so. You know what Watchman Nee said? No Bible, no biscuit. No Bible, no biscuit. Don't feed your gut before you feed your spirit. Get in that book. You want something from God, get up out of that bed and go straight to this book. Or go straight to that prayer closet and get with God. That'd be the first person you talk to every morning. Boy, it ain't good. First person you talk to is the one that loves you the most. Hallelujah. It's good. It does me good. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. This is, when you began to talk about being lost, it in and of itself is an oppression. But the devil will make sure that you're oppressed by it. The devil will do anything he can to keep you from hearing the truth. But Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Not set you free. You can be set free and be in bondage. And you can be in prison and be free. You can lock me up all you want to, but you can't ever, ever put me in bondage again. Woo! You can't ever put me in bondage again, folks. I've been made free. And if the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. Lock me up all you want to. I'm going to be a free man. And let me tell you something. There's some people you might not want to lock up. Yeah, like Paul. Then half your jail gets saved and your jailer. You know, turn around, you're locking him up for being a Christian and preaching the gospel. And when you ain't looking, he's going to win half them people in the jail to Christ. And now you're in a real mess. You're going to have to lock your jailer up now. Yeah, some people just don't want to lock up. Old preacher friend of mine said, 3 hots and a cot. Yeah. There you go. And you got a free ministry and a captive audience. They can't go nowhere. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God," little g, the devil, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Back to that, I believe in Jesus. But you don't believe for the saving of your soul. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Father, what a wonderful time we've already had in church this morning. Lord, we could leave and say, oh, what a wonderful time it has been. But Lord, you've given us another appointment. And you've given us another message. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to give me liberty. Help me to say that which you want me to say and to shut up. Lord, when you're done, I want to be done. And Lord, whatever you do, open ears and blinded eyes and minds this morning. And help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God never puts a message on a preacher's heart. It's not needed. I didn't call me to preach. I wasn't looking to be a preacher. My granddaddy told me at 14 years old, he said, "You're going to be a preacher one day." I want to tell my granddaddy, "Are you drinking something? Dude, me, a preacher, meaner than a devil, I had no desire for God." But lo and behold, when God gets done with you, He wants you to preach. You'll just preach. Hallelujah. And I'm glad for that precious call. Thank God He called me. I want to preach today on what it means to be lost. I want to preach on what it means to be lost. I heard a phrase a couple years ago I've never heard in my whole ministry. And it was at a church, and for some reason or another, this phrase went around and it became embedded in an awful way. And the phrase was, "It's okay to be lost." Now, the original meaning behind it was, it's okay for you to come and church, to be, it's okay, come to church. If you're lost, just come. Don't worry about anything else, just come. And the phrase came out, "It's okay to be lost." But then it stayed amongst lost church members who said, "I know I'm lost." It's not okay to be lost, folks. It's not. It's not good to be lost. Number one, you're at enmity with God. If you're lost today, you are the enemy of God. This book says this. Enmity, this is the definition, Webster's 1828. The quality of being an enemy, that's what enmity means. The quality of being an enemy. The opposite of friendship. Ill will, hatred, unfriendly disposition. It expresses more than displeasure in denoting a fixed or rooted hatred. That's pretty bad, isn't it? So, oh, God loves everybody, folks. God loved the world so much that He gave His Son. Now you hear me today? If you do not come to Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never, ever experience the love of God. Because it's all encompassed in Christ. Because the last verse that I did not read this morning of John chapter 3, and I meant to, and it went and slipped my mind, was, "He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And we'll read that in just a minute. Okay? You're at enmity with God. If you're here today and you're lost, you're the enemy of God. I tell you what, I'd rather be anybody's enemy but God. Amen. If I'm a man's enemy, I might can finagle my way around and beat him. I might can sneak up on him. I might have a bigger gun. I might can do something and beat my enemy if he's a man. But you can't do nothing against God. Amen. You can't do one thing against God except surrender. Amen. That's the only time you can surrender and win. Amen. Is when you surrender with God. Throw up a white flag and say, "I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm tired of being the enemy of God, and I want to be saved, I want you to be my friend." And He's not your friend right now. I don't care what preachers tell you, folks. This book says you are at enmity with God. That's not friends. I want to ask you something. I'll give you as long as you want to stand in the pulpit and show me how there's love in hell. Show me how there's any love in hell. Hell's not a place of love, folks. It's a place of judgment and wrath and holy retribution from God. Psalm 5:5, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity." You know why that is, folks? Because He's a holy God and He hates sin. He hates one sin. When Jesus was on the cross, He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God forsook His own Son. Because when He looked down on Jesus Christ, Jesus had taken the sin of the whole world on Him. And He didn't look down and say, "I love you." He forsook him because of sin. He could not do anything but forsake him, folks. He could no longer accept him as his son. He was now cursed like man. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And he had to look at Jesus as a sinner. That's where it's at. That's what it means to be lost, folks. Psalm 11:5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Psalms 47:45-7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Romans 9:13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. So number one, if you're lost today, you're at enmity with God. Look at Romans 8. Keep your Bibles open. Romans 8, just a few pages back. I want you to read it with your eyes. Don't take my word for it. Read it yourself. Preachers might mess up and slip up and not say the word they ought to. Read it yourself from God's Word. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, this is lost. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That means nothing you can do can please God. The plowing of the wicked is sin. There is nothing you can do to appease God. There is nothing you can do to please God. You are the enemy of God. And no matter what, if you gave everything you had this morning in the offering plate, God wouldn't accept it. Cain said, I'll do it my way. God said, no, you won't. Cain gave the very best that he has, but it wasn't what God said to give. And Cain wasn't accepted. And it made him angry, and he hated God, and he hated his brother, and he murdered him. He couldn't get a hold of God or he'd kill God. So he got his brother. He's the enemy of God. Look at Ephesians 2, quickly. Ephesians 2, just a couple chapters over. Galatians, Ephesians 2. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. If you're lost, you're walking according to the course of this world. According to the power of prince, the devil, of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You're not born a child of God. You hear these people, oh, we're all the children of God. No, you're not. You're not a child of God. You're not born a child of God. The Bible said, he came into his own, John 1, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. You know, there's a difference between saying I'm saved and receiving Christ. Like the old song poet used to sing. I used to listen to an old song. It said, baby, if I could, I'd give you my world. How can I if you won't take it from me? And if you don't want what God wants for you, then you don't have that gift. You haven't received Christ. So he said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had, past tense if you're saved, our conversation, the way we walk, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Not children of God. Children of wrath. It's on you. Okay? The children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love where we loved, L-O-V-E-D again, us through Christ. even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Number two, if you're lost today, the wrath of God is on you. This is the definition of wrath. Violent anger. Violent anger. Vehement exasperation. Indignation. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth, present tense, on him. That's what's on the back of my van. I got that verse on the back of my van. On the other side of that van I've got, if we honored every baby murdered by abortion since 1973 with a minute of silence, we would be silent for 115 years. I've had 19 middle fingers thrown up at me. Okay? 18 of those 19 were white women. One man, a white man. I've never had a black person ever throw the middle finger up at me. I'm talking 18 white women that hated that so bad they would come by me and purposely shoot their middle finger at me. And I've had so many thumbs up and waves and horn blows, probably 10 times as many middle fingers as I've had. But you know what I see every time I see that middle finger? It's working. It's working. I want to say you are the reason I got that on there, buddy. I appreciate that. I am so glad to see that finger. That means it's working. You read it and it did exactly what I wanted it to do. Exactly. I want you to know you murdered. And if you don't like it, there's a problem. If you like murdering babies. Number two, the wrath of God is upon you. I just quoted you that verse, John 3:36. Look at Romans chapter number 2. We're right there close. Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4. We start at 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And that's what happens when you sit in church and you know without a doubt, and God has made it known to you without a doubt that you're lost, and you walk out that door without getting saved. You know what you're doing? You're despising the riches of His goodness. You're saying, I don't want it. But after thy hardness, and impenitent, that means an unrepentant, I am not going to repent. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now listen at this. To them who by patient continuance save people, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's what they're going to get. Eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Pretty bleak, ain't it? I told you it's oppressive. But you know what? It's not oppressive to me. That ain't me. Woo! That ain't me. I ain't in that thing. Oh, song, it's me. It was me. No, it ain't me. It ain't me. Hallelujah. I ain't underneath that wrath. Blessed be God. I got it gone. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. They're not covered by the blood. They're not thrown in the depths of the sea. They're not behind His back. They're gone, folks. My sins are gone. God can't even find my sins. He won't find my sins. You hear me? It's gone. My sins are gone. They're gone, brother. He has forgiven and pardoned me forever. Amen. Ever. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm not underneath the wrath of God. What a blessed day that was. What a blessed day. Number three, if you're lost here today, you're in danger of going to hell at any minute. You're in danger of going to your destiny, your eternal destiny, at any minute. You can have a heart attack. You can die of causes that no coroner or medical professional can find out. It does not matter how you die. To sit around and to think, well, I'm healthy, or I'm this, or I'm that. Are you saved? Are you saved today? If you're not, you're in danger any minute. Any minute can be the last minute you live on this earth. And you know what's so good? You're in the place that you can take care of that. You are in the place today where somebody can help you. I can't help you. I promise you, I can't help you. I cannot change any part of you. I can't change your heart. You can't change your heart. You can't change your own heart, folks. Do it. You can't even change your own wicked heart, folks. You can't save yourself, and nobody else can save you. But I know one that can. I know one that can. And you're here at the place of blessing. Don't leave here lost. The Bible says in James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. James said your life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Yeah, we saw that this morning. And then vanisheth away. Number four, you're in danger of passing the point of no return. This is the worst part. This is the worst part. You know what a reprobate is? A reprobate is somebody that's rejected of God. The Bible said Esau sought repentance carefully with tears and didn't find it. You know why? He sinned away his day of grace. He went beyond the point and God said, I am done with you. That is so scary. That is so fearful to know that God one day says, I'm done with you. You're never going to come to me again. I've called from Proverbs 1. I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have said it naught. All my counsel, you wouldn't listen to preaching. You wouldn't listen to teaching. You wouldn't listen to the voice of God. And now I'm done with you. He said, then shall they call on me and I will not answer. I will not answer. They shall seek me early and shall not find me. Why? Because they didn't love the truth. You know what you're hearing right now? You're hearing truth. You're hearing truth. Something that can make you free. Something that can save your soul and you won't have to leave here lost. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Don't go past the point of no return. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. That means what I'm saying to you doesn't make one dab of sense. And it won't. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. I preached a message one time on the life of God, and He wants to give it to you. he said, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance. You know what the first part of that word is? Ignore. Ignore. Just slough it off. You know what people do? When their heart starts feeling guilty, and that guilt sets in, and they know God's talking to them, and they know they're lost, but they just brush it off. Like I did that day in August, and that man came to me, and he handed me that gospel tract, tears streaming down his face. A preacher come and walked up to me in August before I wrecked and broke my neck in October. And he handed me a gospel tract sitting at my car. And he said, Jesus loves you. And he wants you to be saved. Oh, the guilt. Guilt came on me. And I could have been saved right then. I said, I need to go in this store. And you know what? Holy Ghost was gone. No more guilt. He was gone. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Well, we got an epidemic of that, don't we? Can't please anybody. Can't please anybody. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It gets progressively worse. Professing themselves to be wise, who does he think he is? You ain't going to tell me. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. All these gods of the world, this rock and roll and country music and Hollywood and all these sports and all these gods that they lift up above God. And birds and four-footed beasts and rabbits and turkeys, Thanksgiving and Easter and all these other gods they put before God. He said they corrupted it. It said they corrupted it. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Can I ask you a very simple question? If God gave them up, what was He doing before He gave them up? He was keeping them back. He was keeping them back from going too far. There is a time in your life that God says, I'm going to keep you. And I'm going to send you the truth. I'm going to send you the truth. And I'm going to send you the truth. But this says, wherefore, in light of all we just read, God gave them up. 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What lies? We had a missionary one time, supposedly was a missionary in Belize and all of South America, and he had a boat, and he supposedly was taking all kinds of stuff that missionaries needed, supplies. And he had some nice Bibles. He had a nice leather-bound Bible. And he came to our church, and my pastor bought 10 of them, $50 a piece, real nice Bibles. Well, 2 weeks later, we never seen them. Another week later went by, so he finally calls him. He didn't answer. He finally calls him again. He didn't answer. And he finally calls him to get up with him about a month later. You know what this man said? He said, God sends me suckers like you every day. He said, God sends me suckers like you every day. You know what that is? A reprobate. That's a reprobate. Who changed the truth of God into a lie.
and worshiped and served the creature more than a creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, because they did these things, because they lived like this, and because they would not repent, and because they would not turn to God, for this cause, God gave them up. God said, if you want to live that way, then that's when they become a sodomite, folks. Let me tell you something. I preached a message on sodomy in the Philippines about 10 years ago. About 11 years ago. I preached a whole message on sodomy. And there was a sodomite in that congregation. And that man was one of the first ones to hit the altar. And he laid on that altar and he wept. And this man got saved. He got saved. And he come out of that sodomy. And he got married and he had children. And God called this man to preach. And he's preaching all over the Philippines. And the last time I went over there, he was still in church. Still in church. God can save a sodomite. But God won't save a reprobate. And there's a lot of reprobates, folks, that are not sodomites. There's a lot of reprobates that are sitting on a church pew. And the Bible said, even as they look at it, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was immediate, means they're getting what they deserve. AIDS. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read the rest of those verses. He said he gave them over to a reprobate mind. And that is a mind that is rejected by God. You can read the Bible the rest of your days. You can go to church. You can get on your knees. You can pray and give and cry and do anything you want to. But God's done with you after that point. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. It's the last verse. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Very scary thought. That you may pass the point of no return. The Bible says in verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves." You know what that means? When somebody tells you the truth and you ain't right with God and you're living in sin and you know you're living in sin, you know what you say? I know I'm fine. I'm saved. You can't tell me I'm not saved. Who are you to tell me? It says they oppose themselves. They oppose themselves. If God peradventure, perhaps, if God peradventure will give them what? Repentance. To the acknowledging of the truth. Now, folks, let me say this. I already told you I'm not a Calvinist. I hate all 5 points. And I can show you from the Bible they're all wicked and wrong. Amen. Let me tell you this. When you push God too far, and you keep rejecting God and rejecting God and rejecting God, He's not obligated to let you repent. According to that. Is that what it says? You got a King James Bible. Don't believe one word I'm saying. Is that what it says? If peradventure God will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. That's to be saved. That's the whole purpose of that acknowledging, that repentance is to be saved. If God, peradventure, will. Why? That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Today, if you're lost, let me tell you something. The devil's got a hold of you. The devil's got a hold of you. And you're not getting loose. You won't. You can't. Nothing you can do except run to Jesus. Amen. He can loosen it. Isaiah 55:6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, who will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's where it's at. You want to come out from underneath that condemnation? You want to get rid of that guilt? You want to be free at last? Come to Jesus while you still have time. Acts 17:27, that they should seek the Lord if happily, there it is again, contingent, they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Brother Finn, don't you come on up here. Let's bow our heads. I've said what the Lord wanted me to say today. I don't need to say anything else, really. Today you have an opportunity. You have a divine opportunity from God. You don't have to leave here lost. If you're saved and the Holy Ghost of God, if God's dealing with your heart right now, why don't you come on up here? Why don't you come up here today and get that thing taken care of?
If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, we want to help you. We can't force you to get saved. God doesn't do that either. But He wants you saved today. He does not want you to die and go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't push God away. Because maybe you have already done that. Lord Jesus Christ died for you. He loves you. He wants to save your soul if you're not saved. Brother Mike made it very, very clear. You're either saved or lost. That's it. No in between. There's no place that you're going to be able to go after you die and get prayed out of. That doesn't work. You won't find that in the Bible anywhere. It's heaven for the saved and hell for the lost. That simple. God doesn't complicate things. We do. Man does. God made it so simple a child can be saved. God made it so simple an older person, everybody can be saved. If you need help, if you need somebody to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, just please get my attention, get one of us here, talk with you, we'll sit down and we'll show you how you can trust Christ and be saved for all eternity. Christian, what kind of a Christian are you? The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. When you get saved, your life changes. You are radically different. Radically different. Brother Mike, thank you for that message today. I appreciate it very much. We need to hear, folks. We need to hear the truth. We've got to hear it. The truth will set us free. It'll make us free. All right, we're going to take an offering for Brother Mike.